Welcome to the inaugural show zero of the Babylon Podcast. My name is Summer Brooks.
I'm going to put that on and go into the spot factory and get to work.
My dog and I are being attacked by a duck.
I think I'm kidding, but I'm not.
When you're hungry, you're hungry.
The virgin sits on a crate, opening and closing his pipe.
Steph has a mind of its own tonight.
I didn't get any entries at all.
Telepaths against mundanes is no contest.
I like Day of the Dead.
I did too.
Hey guys, it's Gary. I'm listening to episode 1.
And God help us all, this is Joe Truman.
Production of the malt liquor beverage Zima.
Nice and close, and I looked at him and I go, do you want?
Hey there. Okay, I'm... Actually, let me call you back in a minute. Bye.
Stella, I knew it was a bad idea to record. I knew it was.
And welcome back to another Babylon Podcast. I'm Summer Brooks.
I'm Tim Callender.
I'm your resident new guy, Brett Filipek.
I have to mention this. Yes, we're about to embark upon yet another Feedback-a-palooza. And I started a little thread on Twitter a couple days ago.
Yeah.
By the time I hear this, a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had just rewatched Racing the Night, and I was not in any kind of hurry because it was 2 o'clock in the morning. What else was I going to do? And I watched the end credits all the way through. And there's that one end credits bar where you see like the rock turning, and it has the website, the URLs at the bottom. One is thestation.com and the other one is b5crusade.com.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, huh, totally forgot about that site. Let's go see. And there's nothing there.
Okay.
There's nothing there. I'm like, and I tweeted. I'm like, went to the website, disappointed. And so continuing on in that vein of stuff, I just happened to notice that Bear McCreary was tweeting about work he was doing on Human Target and Eureka. And my brain went, huh, if one of JMS's new impending announcements is B5 related, wouldn't it be cool if Bear McCreary did the score for the new Babylon 5? How rocking would that be?
That would be pretty cool.
Dude,
I would have deep love.
I got all excited just thinking about the possibility. So yeah, I've been having fun on the Twitter lately, been tweeting stuff from NASA and from Comics World and Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he was on Big Bang Theory a couple weeks ago.
He was
Yeah. Who, if people wanted to follow you, do they follow you? Are they following our podcast? Who are they following?
They are following Babylon Podcast on Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah. But we have Babylon Podcast, Twitter is twitter.com/Babylon Podcast. And for those who are curious, we also have Slice of Sci-Fi, Dragon Page, Zombie Channel, and Farpoint Media. We also have Mystic Ninjas, which nobody's Twittering on yet because I am still slacking on that.
Summer. Uh-oh.
I am so slacking. But yeah, Sam and I are Twittering as a Slice of Sci-Fi in addition to the news posts that are going out. And I'm Twittering as Dragon Page. I think Sam said she was going to tweet some 140 character book reviews out there when she had the time. But
I'm going to tell her that you called her a twit. I heard that.
I was going to say, I might have to start. Twitter. I might have to become a twit.
Tweeters. Tweeters. Not tweakers. Tweeters.
Not twits?
The nuances of the English language.
The English language as subverted by the internets.
Yes.
Those darn interwebs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. My
LOL Babcast.
Yeah. And for everybody who thinks Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas pod faded, no, we're just napping.
Here we go.
They had a lot of turkey. It is now nap time. That's all. Alrighty then.
So but
what's
yeah,
next?
No, well, we're doing voicemail. I just thought I wanted to add that little undercurrent of a potential meme out there saying, you know, hey, if we get a Babylon 5 related project actually hitting the production timeline, I want it out there that I think Bear Mercury as doing another theme for a show might be just way cool.
So
I think they should have a theme by Justin Bieber.
I'm going to hurt you.
Oh, God. I literally just threw up in my mouth. Where's my soda?
My work here is done.
You are a bad, bad man.
Quick, Mike, take us out before they lynch me.
Optimal health is more than eating right.
You figure out, okay, here's what I'm allowing myself, calories, carbs, protein, and you spread it out. That way your body can actually absorb the nutrition properly, mm-hmm. and it can work in your favor because it's going to help you prevent muscle loss.
Good nutrition and the right exercise are the things that affect us all.
Yes, let's talk about back fat today. In fact, we could just title this episode Back Fat.
Join Romy Nelson, Ingredients for Life.
Visit RomyNelson.com.
Ah, yes. Voicemail, feedback, palooza.
I was going to say, this should mostly get us caught up.
Oh, cool.
Except that by the time we're all finished with this, Gary and Neil have called in a dozen.
And hopefully when they call and just like lambast you for the Justin Bieber comment.
Oh, come on. Anything for a laugh.
Man, there's some lines you don't cross. I'm just telling you. There's lines you don't cross. That was one of them. Whew. I still got a bad taste in my mouth. All right. So it's Feedback Palooza tonight. I'm game.
Hey, Babcasters, Arkle, still listening to 216. Hey, you guys got on to the Talia Ivanova thing. And both Gary and Summer made really great points about the whole Talia Ivanova relationship being the result of manipulations by the implanted personality. But, I mean, for my money, I think it would have a lot more of an emotional impact from a storytelling point of view. It would just be so much more tragic if the relationship between Talia and Ivanova was real and it was destroyed by the implanted personality completely taking over. Because, I mean, let's just think about it from Ivanova's point of view. Basically, someone she loved is dead, and yet she can see her pacing around the detention cell on the camera at the same time. It's that kind of weird thing. It's like someone abandons you emotionally, but is still in the same area, and you still got to see them every single day, and it's like, you know, why don't you have the decency to just leave, you know? But, like, to give it a real-world parallel, but, I mean, that's just my thought. That's probably how I would have written it if this had been my show, but, you know. But I always do that in my head. I'm always rewriting stuff I like, stuff I don't like. It's just a habit I've picked up, but... Yeah, I'm not saying that Summer and Gary are wrong, mind you. In fact, they're probably right. I'm just giving my opinion on what would have been more of an emotional impact.
I have to confess. I listened to you, Arkle. I listened to that whole thing, and I still have no idea what the heck you were trying to say. Did one of you guys catch it? Maybe could do an interpretation for me because
he was saying that he thinks that the resolution there of the Talia Ivanova relationship would have been more powerful if the relationship between Talia and Susan was real and had just been subverted by the implanted personality, as opposed to a relationship that had been generated by the implanted personality as a way of working its way
working
into
the source.
Yeah, working the source, right, exactly.
I see what he's saying. Okay. Yeah. That so almost like she was like a Cylon sleeper agent and didn't know it.
Right. Except mm-hmm. her spine didn't glow when they were doing stuff.
I always had so many questions about that, and I just won't even go there.
Yeah, right. That's another podcast for another day.
That's another podcast for another day. But, you know, I will agree with Arkel. I actually think that probably would have been kind of cool seeing it that way.
And I think that's how it was written. That's my feeling on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I'll bite. I'm vaguely curious. Tell me why.
Yeah, because I think really in the end, the sleeper personality was in essence a method to gather information. I don't think that it was an active manipulative thing. I think it was there absorbing and holding on to information for whatever purposes, but I don't, because as Talia says at the end, the sleeper awakes, Talia says, that she was basically trapped in this body watching all these things happen, and she could only come out at night. So that tells me that this sleeper personality was not a personality that was capable of acting upon its environment.
Hmm. Okay. So in essence, you're saying that Arkel just watched the scene wrong.
No, I think Arkel watched the scene right.
Okay. Okay. And now I'm all confused. So,
yeah.
So, okay. So you think, you're thinking that the way Arkel watched it is the way, and the way you watched it are the same way, and that the way we interpret it, the rest of us interpret it, was wrong.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. And I think we've already spent too much time on this topic at this point. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Hey, Bad Five Gang. Hello, all. I just wanted to point out the hair thing with Ivanova. She referred to it as the peanut head look. Peanut. Let's be careful about how we pronounce that. It seems that later on, Lockley had an episode where she jumped out of bed with her hair all in a ponytail and everything, and she said she had, the comment was something along the lines of she wished she could avoid the Ivanova peanut head look, and the complaint from Claudia Christian was it always made her head look like a peanut. Okay, talk to you guys later. Bye.
It still doesn't touch on if it hurt or not.
That's true. And as I recall, didn't I read somewhere that the reason that she wore her hair up, or was it an episode where she said she wore her up, was that way she, you know, if she had to get out of the bed in the middle of for an emergency, she didn't look like a mess? I don't remember.
Yeah, the whole idea was it was View from the Gallery was the episode, and it's the only time that Lockley had her hair pulled back like that. And it was the whole idea was to give the sense of the captain had just rolled out of bed, and she didn't have time to do something nice with her hair, and so she just pulled it back to keep it out of her way. And you know, from a realism point of view, that makes sense, but from a television point of view, it really looked awful.
Oh God, it looked terrible. It looked like somebody was trying to do a facelift. You know?
Yes. Right.
You know, like, or if they, I pull it all back, it'll all be nice and tight.
Yeah, they grabbed her by the ponytail, swung her around the room 3 or 4 times, and then set her back down on her feet.
Ouch.
Yeah.
He's right. That's what it looked like.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the only time you saw, and that, and to what the caller was saying, it was all behind the scenes that it was the Ivanova peanut head, as they dubbed it. But I think it worked for Claudia Christian. It didn't work for Tracy Scoggins.
I'm going to vote it didn't work for either of them. honestly. That's just my personal opinion. I think it just looked like crap. There you go.
Okay, then.
2 cents.
Hey, Babcasters, it's Gary, and I recently ran across a little bit more JMS Thor news. The role that JMS is actually going to be playing is that he is going to be the individual that first finds Thor's hammer and tries to pick it up without success. So I guess that is JMS's little actor cameo slash beginning of the movie. So I'm really thrilled about that. After all these years behind the camera and script, he must be getting a little bit of a kick out of being able to actually appear in front of the camera. Take care, everyone. Bye.
You know, given that he had gone on record as saying the reason why he never appeared on camera on Babylon 5 until that very last shot of him turning out the lights on the station was that if he saw himself on camera, on film, it would destroy the illusion for him.
Really?
So, yeah, yeah, yeah. He said if that's why he resisted for the longest time of ever being in a shot, you know, even as like a Alfred Hitchcock walking kind of thing. So given that, I'm curious to know why he would agree to do an on-screen cameo like that for Thor. And that's not even a, I mean, that's more than a Hitchcock kind of walk-on thing.
Yeah, but you know what, though? On the flip side, it was the last scene of his baby. I think really, if you're going to do it, kind of like, you got no other time to do it. And
oh.
I mean, you got to be able to sit there and say, show your grandkids, look, there I am in my show that I did.
Right, right. And it makes perfect sense, but that's why he never did it before then.
Yep.
You could say, okay, I was done. But so, I mean, is it different because Thor is just, he's just the screenwriter as opposed to being involved at the production at a particular level? I don't know. I just found that curious.
Yeah, I agree. It's curious.
Podcasters, it's Arkle, listening to show 216, and Neil from Bowie just called in and mentioned the trial in The Gathering. Well, technically that wasn't actually a trial. It was just an extradition hearing, which, I mean, has some of the same aspects of a trial, but, you know, I've watched enough Law & Order over the past year, God, 14 years, to know that there are differences. So, just a minor correction there.
Well, I guess I stand corrected.
I'm not enough of a legal to know one way or the other.
I don't even remember. I drank that one away, guys. I gotta be honest.
Okay.
Hey, guys. It's Jason from Murfreesboro. I was just listening to episode 217 about your top 5 favorite episodes. Here are my top 5 from 5 to number 1. At number 5, Geometry of Shadows. Number 4, Endgame. Number 3, And the Rock Cried Out, No Hiding Place. Number 2, which I'm shocked wasn't mentioned at all, A Late Delivery from Avalon. And at number 1, Severed Dreams. Hope you're all having a good night. Look forward to hearing the next podcast. Thanks.
Well, first, thanks for calling in, because that's the first time you have, and do more, because that was pretty interesting. You know, I don't know that you can argue with Severed Dreams. I think that's a pretty good choice for number one.
No, I agreed. The Late Delivery from Avalon, though.
Yeah, that was, to me, that episode is very slight and inconsequential. It's got some fun moments. But overall, I don't. It just. I don't know. It was silly.
Yeah. Yeah. It just meh.
Yeah. Rock Cried Out, No Hiding Place. That's an excellent episode. Although I don't know that I'd. You know, on the website, I made a distinction because somebody had. God, I should get the names in front of me, and I'm sorry. Captain Murphy, I believe, was the poster, mentioned Sick Transit Veer as one of his top 5. And I like that episode a lot, and I made the distinction between best episodes and personal favorite episodes. You know, and
why do you think there needs to be a distinction?
Why do I think there needs to be a distinction? Because when I think of when I try to determine what I consider the best of the best, I try to look at it from a much more objective overall. It is kind of an arbitrary thing. I try to take some of the emotion out of it.
But sometimes that emotion makes the entire difference, because if there is a particular episode that has a personal impact on you, you want to try to express that impact to others, because someone might not have paid attention to that. That's how I feel about Confessions and Lamentations. That episode gets overlooked, but it still hits me every time I watch it.
Well, I guess maybe taking emotion out of it was not really what I wanted to say, because as you just said that, I mean, to me, I had Dust to Dust on my list, and one of the reasons I like it is because it has a lot of personal emotional connection that way. But beyond that, it also does need things with the characters. I don't, you know, it's so arbitrary. I really enjoy Sick Transit Veer a whole lot. I really do. But I just can't put it on that best of the best list.
Although, what was the other one? I wish I could go back and listen to what he said again, because he had one of the ones that he had on his list I thought was an interesting one. And what were the other ones on his list?
And The Rock Cried Out, No Hiding Place.
That was the one.
Yeah,
that was the one. See, and I loved that one. And I wouldn't have put it on my top, but I can see why it would have been, because it was really good. I loved the end of it. You know, I loved the, you know, you got everybody doing their singing and rocking out to their religious music while you've got Laura Reefa running for his life with a bunch of narns chasing him, and I thought that was just awesome. And so it wasn't like a really overly a powerful episode, but I just thought it was really well done. And what it did do is it tied up that little knot, or, you know, or tied up that piece of the arc with Lord Reefa. And you got to see that he got what was coming to him. So I liked that aspect of it. It's always nice when, you know, they tie something off with a neat little bow and, you know, stick it in front of you. And they did that with it. They did that with the episode. And right. They did that, I think, with Lord Reefa and all the pieces of him they could find.
Right. and sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes there needs to be a definitive end as you go on. Yeah, it's interesting that episode came up, because I've been reading through Parliament of Dreams Summer, and just actually recently read one of the articles where they mention And the Rock Cried Out, No Hiding Place, and specifically talked about that scene where Sheridan is trying to think like the shadows in order to outwit them, and Delenn responds with great horror, and goes on to say that the whole, one of the underlying themes in that episode, and specifically with B5 generally, is that if you think like your enemy to become your enemy in order to defeat your enemy, have you really achieved anything?
Right.
You know, that really what you need to do is you need to maintain your sense of self, because that's what you're fighting for. Anyway.
Yeah. But you know what? On the flip side, I look at it like this. This is how I look at it. Kind of like good old World War II, if we have to go back in history. When you have these big fleets of ships and no satellite to sit there and help you find them, you have to sit there and think, okay, if I'm the guy on the other guy's boat, and I've got to go and I've got to sit there and either protect this island or try to hunt this fleet or try to find something, where would I go? You know, that's a normal thing I think that anybody in the military or military strategist is going to do. He's going to sit there and try to think, if I'm that guy, where do I go? What am I doing here? Because otherwise, space is a really big honking place. where do you look for them? You know, and the only way to do that is to put yourself in their shoes. That's not a, that's nothing to be horrified by, with. That is just what you got to do. My pontification.
I think that's one of those, again, situations that made B5 such a great show, is that it's a gray area.
Well,
because both points are right.
What I think, in my opinion, it shows how naive Delenn is sometimes, you know, in ways of the military. Like, I don't think anybody in the Warrior cast would have thought twice about what Sheridan was doing. They'd be like, yeah, good idea. Let me help you out. You know,
no, you're right. I think you're right.
She was just ignorant of this. So to her, she's like, how could you do this? This is terrible. No, this is not. This is normal. This is what you got to do. Yeah. Although I have to, so just because I'm curious and I don't remember the other episodes on this guy's list. What was his other two? Do we remember? He had Severed Dreams, Late Delivered from Avalon, Rock Cried Out, No Hiding Place, Sick Transit Veer. What was the last one?
No, he didn't have Sick Transit Veer. That was somebody posted. Mike, can you run that again for us, please?
Hey guys, it's Jason from Murfreesboro. I was just listening to episode 217 about your top 5 favorite episodes. Here are my top 5 from 5 to number 1. At number 5, Geometry of Shadows. Mm. Number 4, Endgame. Number 3, And the Rock Cried Out, No Hiding Place. Number 2, which I'm shocked wasn't mentioned at all, A Late Delivery from Avalon. And at number 1, Severed Dreams. Hope you're all having a good night. Look forward to hearing the next podcast. Thanks.
I will go. I did like Endgame. What I like, again, it was so ridiculously... like, if you want to talk about tying everything up and tying a lot of bows and presenting presents to your viewers, this was your episode. You know, I will agree that, you know, that was, if it, because I'm sensing a theme with where he's going with his, what he likes. So I'm going to say, yeah, he likes the real big, arcful, impactful, major to the story episodes. And that's a good one. Geometry of Shadows.
See, that's another one I would maybe put on a personal favorite, but I don't think it's the best.
Purple.
Green.
Come on. Really?
Don't get me wrong. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Wasn't terribly fond of Elric the Technomage, but we've gone over that before.
Even after reading the Technomage trilogy, you don't have a better appreciation for him?
No, I do. I have a much better appreciation for him, but it took the Technomage trilogy to get that. Okay. To just look at the episode, it still didn't do much for me that way.
Problem I had with that episode, and this is just me. I'm sorry. Michael and Sarah will always, forever.
I know where you're going.
Ever.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Be a Klingon.
I don't have that problem because I never went there. Would never have known he was a Klingon until I started talking with him. Seriously.
I can't see him. I watched that. And I'm like, no, bad casting. You can't have Michael Ansari. You will always be a Klingon.
I had the same problem with John Colicos in Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
Because I always saw him as core military governor of Organia. That's the whole
right?
thing.
Goodness. No, he's absolutely right. I agree. There's sometimes when somebody is so the role that they get typecast. Obviously, that's what whole typecasting is. And to me, because let's face it, if I sit there and say Michael Ansara, you think of what roles he's been in?
I think of Kang.
You think of Kang. That's right. That's all you can think of. And I'm sorry. If you're going to sit there and say which was he better in as Kang or as the Technomage, he's better as Kang.
Yeah.
Much better Kang.
I will admit there was a recent episode of The Closer where Gary Cole was guest starring as a high-ranking Marine, because they were investigating some dead Marines. And I just kept waiting for him to bust out a line either as Gideon or Sheriff Buck from American Gothic. Mm. It took me a long time to get over seeing him as Sheriff Buck and see him as Captain Gideon. I can't tell you how long that took me. But
really? That's interesting, because again, I was not familiar enough. Now, the flip side is he played Edgar Mitchell in From the Earth to the Moon.
That would not have made the same impact on me. So
yeah, well, but I'm still sitting there looking at him going, what are you doing as lunar module pilot? You're Captain Gideon. You should be in charge of the mission.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, Geometry of Shadows, you have a lot of humor from a lot of different places. You have, literally, it is the perfect Casablanca episode of that season because you have so much going on at the same time, and it's all just wacky stuff. It's crazy. What in the world is it? Is this a full moon? It's the kind of stuff. It's that so much stuff is happening. It's unbelievable, but it is happening because it's Babylon 5.
Yeah, but again, I don't know that it would make my best of list. Well, it didn't make my best of list.
I know it didn't, but still.
it wouldn't have made mine either. It didn't make mine either.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but Gary Cole will always, forever be Bill Lumbergh.
I'm going to need you to come in this weekend.
Did you get the memo? Sorry, that's who we are. And I can't watch him in Crusade. I couldn't watch him.
Waiting for him to ask Matheson to put a cover page on that TPS report.
On his TPS, exactly right. I couldn't watch it.
I saw the promos because he was Mike Brady in the Brady Bunch remake, right?
He was.
I saw the promos of that, and I said, I cannot watch that movie because it will ruin him for me. So I have never seen that movie and was never a big Brady Bunch fan anyway. Yeah. But just seeing the hair in that ad, it scarred me for months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know he's been other stuff, right? He was in Talladega Nights. He was in Dodgeball, which I loved him in, Dodgeball because of the commentator. But still, by and large, for me, always going to be Bill Lumbergh.
Damn TPS reports.
Mm-hmm. And it's maybe because I think sometimes I have worked for that company.
Oh, I had a job that was that company too. We were a consulting company that brought in a consultant.
Oh God! That's a temporal paradox I don't want to deal with.
That's a whole other thing because I worked in an office space situation once.
Yeah. I think everybody has. I think that's why that movie is so visceral. But
yeah,
there you go.
All right, we are going to argue about favorite episodes forever, but we have more voicemail to get to, don't we?
Yeah, so we need to take a quick break. To take a breath, get a little bit of fluid, and then we'll come back and take care of some more.
Or beer!
If you've got a Gmail account, the Gmail Podcast makes a great way to get the most out of it. The Gmail Podcast gives you quick tips on how to deal with the ever-increasing amounts of email we all get. You'll learn how to manage multiple email accounts in one convenient place and ways to keep all that information organized. The Gmail Podcast also keeps you informed of the latest new software features as they come available. And because you're busy, most shows are less than 5 minutes. Get started with a Gmail Podcast today by going to chuckchat.com.
Yes. We can argue about best ofs and favorites and the nitpicky differences between the two. We could probably do two whole episodes on that, couldn't we?
We could. Although I will say I'm curious to see what other listeners come up with, because they may come up with some points that make all three of us look like complete boobs.
That's entirely possible.
That's not particularly difficult.
No, that's really not difficult at all. So I am going to sit there and put the shout out to the listeners to, you know what, post it out there, but call it in, do whatever you want. But I'm curious to see what you put out there.
Yeah.
But you know, hey, look, we took an entire hour episode to sit there and pontificate about our shows. So you can't sit there and just say, I'd like these shows and leave it there. You got to give us some reasons why. Otherwise, you're just, you don't count.
There you go.
Regarding the question of why the triluminary was used on the captives that detected Sinclair was one of the good guys or whatever, let's not forget that it was the religious caste who had this implement, and probably part of their process was some kind of a religious process where they go in and they say, you know, bless you for we're about to rip out your entrails. And a little thing went beep, and they said, we have a problem. So there's another alternative. Okay, talk to you guys later. Bye.
It's possible. They are very ritualistic people. I mean, that's as good a theory as any. I think it's probably because he just upgraded from the biluminary and wanted to go to a quadluminary. and they say, hey, we got this triluminary. Let's try this out first.
They had a uniluminary that didn't work because all it did was lay there. They had a dual luminary that kept tipping over, so they stuck with the triluminary because it was more geometrically stable, right?
Correct. And quadluminary, sure. Really, who needs that?
Really?
This one goes to 11. I mean, that's really kind of what it's boiling down to at this
You're
point.
Is there such a thing as an 11-sided die? I know I have a 10 and a 12.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know that the 20-siders that came with the original D&D set, they ended up becoming round rollers because the corners would just wear down.
Yeah, they'd
wear off. So, yeah. Those were bizarre. They'd just be little, like, lumpen balls of numbers.
Yep.
Hey, Babcasters. It's Gary from Jacksonville, and I'm listening to the latest voicemail show, and there was a whole question about contracts, and Tim seemed a little flustered about it, and Summer was doing her best to explain it. Basically, what happens is, from my understanding, is that when you sign for a contract, you sign, and what it says is that you're paid X number amount the first year. If the show continues to get picked up, you have built-in raises scheduled for the course of those 5 years. And as long as the show is running or picked up, it's sort of like a work contract. You agree to work, and this is how much you're paid, and there's built-in raises each year that the show continues, and it goes up, goes up, goes up. At the end of the five-year term, you would then be sort of in prime negotiating territory if your show is running to get a real big jump at the end of that five-year loop. What happened in Claudia's instance, and actually everybody's instance, was it had gone past the amount of time that they had to re-sign for the next season. Warner Brothers was so on the fence, I guess, with the whole TNT switch and PTEN going out of business, that their option, there is a certain length of time that they can actually hold you to your contract if the show isn't in production, had actually expired. And most of the people had actually signed extensions. And JMS goes into the point of saying how Claudia was actually one of the people who got everyone else to sign extensions for the show, except for Claudia. She never actually signed her extension, and this is why her contract, in a sense, had run out. Now, to be fair to Claudia, this had actually, you know, her term of her contract had expired at this point when she took this other job. She did not expect B5 to come back. However, as it started to look likely, everyone except her did sign an extension, albeit with a modification because they were moving from PTEN to cable, so that their pay actually did drop a little bit from what I'm told for what it would have been normally in that fifth season. So once again, it's sort of like an agreement to work for such a certain amount of money each year if the show's picked up, and there is a time each year that it has to be met. If that's not met, then they're released from the contract, which is what actually happened at the end of season 4, although most people agreed to sign extensions except Claudia, and that's where the whole loophole, disaster, mess, misunderstanding comes into play. Take care, everybody. Bye.
That's a lot of legal stuff. If you just gave me any reason to never be an actor, that was it.
And it makes you wonder how anything ever gets done in Hollywood, doesn't it?
Yeah, with lawyers. I mean, really? There's lots of lawyers in Hollywood. That's what I just heard.
Well, even beyond that, it's amazing that anything of any artistic merit gets produced, because so much of what impacts your ability to tell your story are things that have nothing to do with your story. You know, those kind of legal things to work out with contracts and keeping actors happy and busybodies from the studio and all that kind of stuff. So, in summer, you want to be a showrunner? Is that, did I read that right somewhere?
I would love to run a particular show or miniseries. I would,
after all this.
Even after all this. Because remember how Peter Jackson said he was born to do Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, okay.
There's like one story out there that I would absolutely, I would maim and kill to have a chance to make sure it got done right.
What story is that?
It's near and dear to my heart. I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, I saw that coming.
It's a trilogy, sort of a sci-fi action from the mid-80s. And if people really, 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 really want to know, I'll tell you later.
Okay, I guess I got to figure out if I want to really, 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 really know.
Because I even inquired about optioning the books.
Wow.
The books have been under option for different people for 20 years.
Neuromancer.
No.
All right.
It is by a famous author, though. Well, he's famous now.
Okay. does it say soon to be a major motion picture on the cover?
No, it does not. Matter of fact, okay. The books are... Here's how much I love these books. These books were out of print for 10 years. I found them used copies on the internet, $10 each, that I bought for a friend of mine to give them to him to read them. These books and Heroes Die by Matt Stover are the only books that I have bought multiple times to give to other people to read.
Okay.
That's how much I love these books.
I'll have to give it some thought.
Yeah, okay. Now it's like a puzzle.
Yeah.
Like a riddle. It's a riddle.
Or a conundrum.
Conundrum. Ooh, that's a good one. I had that once. I got a shot.
This is Everbody bringing you a Babylon 5 memory.
Yeah.
I was just listening to the Bonnie Tyler song, Holding Out for a Hero, and I just brought that flood of memories of the Babylon 5 music videos that were going around conventions at the time the show was aired. Sandy Bruckner brought them to the local convention here. And you know, there was this—I think it was just for—it was a first season video for Babylon 5 with all these images set to the song "Holding Out for a Hero," and then at the point in the song where it goes to an instrumental is where it basically cuts off, and then has one of Garibaldi's speeches from the first season. Anyway, just memory just came to me right now hearing that, and I hope that you guys were fortunate enough during the time that Battle 5 aired to see some of those music videos that were done for Joe, which were really nice videos at the time. That's all.
Yeah, except I think I saw the one for Total Eclipse of the Heart, and I mean, the clips are good, but God, the song is just murder to listen to.
Wow. Tell me how you really feel.
Oh, come on. That doesn't take you back to, what is it? Those old roller skating rinks when they say, partners dance, partners skate, partners skate.
Yeah, well, it would, except that for me, it would have been playing something like, The Night Chicago Died, or something by Tony Orlando and Dawn. That's how old I am.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't. So what was served at the Last Supper there? I'm just curious.
I don't know. I was too busy going to get the guards.
I was too busy refilling the bread. I was refilling the bread bowl. Yeah. Yeesh. Now, I'll be honest with you. Having gone to only a few cons in my life, yes, only a few, I have absolutely no idea what that guy was talking about. So it's all you guys on this one. But I did like Total Eclipse of a Heart. Some it was a good song.
Oh God, it's horrible.
It's now stuck in my head. Thank you. Okay. Do we have anything else? Are we done? Because now I gotta go listen to that song now.
Oh.
Hi, this is Troy calling from Marana, Arizona. A couple of things. Number one, about your weapons episode. I may have been in a state of illusion or something, but the Narn pistols look suspiciously like the same firearms, the same blasters they use on Space 1999. Somebody check me on this, please. Number two, I was thinking about for the future of the Babylon podcast that maybe you select 10 of the very most influential B5 episodes, and you guys, especially if you can get Jeffrey, do live audio commentaries to the episodes that we can play back while the episode is playing and just sync it up with the start. That's it for now. I've been listening since episode zero. Thanks for all the great entertainment and information you've put on the Babylon podcast. We B5 fans really love it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Wow. Troy, call in some more. If you've been listening that long, what took you so long to call in?
Oh,
I know,
me.
Gary.
No. It was me.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Brett to show up, absolutely.
It's all good.
Yeah.
And do you know how absolutely off track and detailed we could get doing commentary on episodes?
I think it would turn into Mystery Science Theater 3000.
It would probably worsen that, actually.
Hang on. We'd all have to be in the same room so that Brett and I could alternate putting our hands over your mouth, because you would be talking about a scene from 15 minutes ago, still talking about the same scene.
You know, she's got you on that one, brother. Honestly, don't even deny it. She's right.
It's funny because it's true.
Well, it's very true. Absolutely very true. Although I think would be a good idea. I don't know how the heck you do it, because I'm not the video production kind of guy, but doing commentary to our five favorite.
Ooh.
That would, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think
all
that,
right,
I
we
think
might
that
have to, good. Yeah, we have to puzzle that one out. As for the Narn hand weapons, I'll have to go back. See, that's the one thing that I find refreshing about Babylon 5, even at this point, is there is a remarkable lack of emphasis on hardware. I mean, all the stuff makes sense, and all the races have different ships and so on and so forth, but it's never like, you know, hey, check out the Narn handgun. And this is the Minbari heavy rifle. You know, it's never been like that on that show. So I'd have to go back and really start doing a little searching on that to see if I can see what you're talking about.
And yeah, I have no Space 1999 video or pictures to even reference to compare.
I've got it in my head. I mean, I know what he's talking about.
Your head's a dangerous place, Tim. I don't think you can go there.
Yeah, it got blown out of orbit by a nuclear waste dump on the far side. Never mind that if it was on the far side of the moon, wouldn't it like drive the moon into the Earth rather than away from? Just wondering.
There you go.
Yeah, keep wondering there, brother. Keep wondering.
Okay, right. Anyway.
Are we done? Is that it?
That might be it. Yep, that was the last one.
I think that was it.
Yep. Oh, wow.
The long protracted silence means we're done.
And believe it or not, we are caught up as of now, which means that 10 minutes from now, the Babcast mail email will be full.
We have 37 voicemails from Gary already. Thank you.
Probably. Right. And 10 from Neil.
Yeah. So, wow. But we get, you know, it's great because we got some new voices in there, and that's always a wonderful thing to hear. So,
I'm just wondering, are these people just getting into podcasts and just now finding us?
Or no, Troy said he's been listening since zero.
Well, no, there's some other people. We're getting all these like new voices commenting and saying, glad I found the podcast. I'm like,
yeah, I know.
Like
we weren't lost.
3 years ago, you could have shown Jeffrey some love.
You can still show Jeffrey some love.
We can.
Ooh, easy there.
Shower curtain. We'll draw the shower curtain.
Jeffrey is very huggable, and I am proud to stand up and say that.
Okay. I will simply say it was good to hear some new voices, and if you don't be strangers, people.
Yeah.
There's nobody stranger than us.
Right. And just as a reminder, if the voicemail line is busy, don't worry. It's just Gary or Neil. Try again like in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's kind of like when you're dialing in for your favorite radio contest. You just got to keep hitting the redial on that one. Eventually, you'll get through.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep. any other straggling bits of commentary we need to comment on for the commenting?
No, I think we're all commented out at this point.
Commented out at this point.
Yeah.
All right then. We're
let's
done.
Call it. Let's call it good, guys.
We are calling it. We are caught up on voicemail, so go ahead and fill the voicemail back up because we need it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, you know, just to give people a heads up, we are heading into the holiday season here in the United States of America, which means that things
gifts
might
be
a little sporadic. Yeah. Oh, that too. Absolutely. No, but I was going to say, I think we're going to try to keep on some kind of schedule, but if things get a little sparse until the beginning of the year, don't be surprised.
Right. And there's always the possibility that Gary will come up with another holiday treat.
Yes.
And who knows? One of our favorite parody song buddies out there might have come up with another B5 song. I don't know. I have to go look.
There you go.
Yes. I am talking about either Luke Ski or Cy Fried.
Yeah.
Yes, Cy-Fried, I haven't forgotten about you. We still love you. But, yes, if you want to add your own voice to our next feedback show, the email address is babylonpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is babylonpodcast.com. Come by, leave comments, press the orange donate button because it is coming up on that time of year where giving is so much more rewarding than receiving.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Could you have said that any more sarcastic? It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And you know what? I was fine holding that back until you giggled.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done.
Just channeling my inner Eeyore.
Farpointforums.com is the place to go to join in the chat with everybody else. And of course, if you want to leave your own voicemail message, that number is 206-338-2259. That's 206-338-225. Wait, I keep forgetting to mention Twitter. We are on Twitter, people. We're on
Twits.
Twitter.com/Babylon Podcast. Tweet us. We'll tweet you back. Trust me. I'm on Twitter and talking smack to all sorts of people.
And I'm just a twit, folks.
And of course, go to farpointmedia.com and check out our live video streams. You can see Mike sitting back in his chair holding his cat, stroking him much like
Blofeld.
Like Mr. Evil. Or who is that? Who? Whatever.
Yeah.
Goldfinger.
It was Blofeld. Yeah, it was Blofeld in the Bond movies.
Yes, holding the cat. Ingeniously monitoring our voices while paying attention to the cat. And again, the number is 206-338 205-206-2259.
The year that everybody's top five favorite episodes will come upon us all.
And we will see you next time on the other side of the top five list.